You are listening to the Crazy Town Podcast, Season 2, Episode 11, with Jonas and TNT Dynamite.
What's going on, guys?
I am hanging out with you here.
Yeah, I was speaking to the listeners.
Oh. Well,
but how are you?
They're hanging out with us, too.
I'm glad you're well.
Have you ever heard of Bone Church?
Is this like Bone Thugs in Harmony Church?
Yes, it's where Bone does sermons every weekend.
No, I'm interested. What's a bone church?
It is a church in the Czech Republic. The inside is decorated with over 40,000 human skeletons.
And why?
Oh, well, it's a very nice story. I happen to have it. I'm glad that you asked me about it.
Why?
It's called the Sedlec Ossuary. That's like the place.
I'm familiar with ossuaries.
The most decorative thing in the place is a chandelier made with all human bones, and it has at least one of every human bone in it.
Huh. Now, look, that's amazing, but it's also kind of sick. Like, who's constructing this thing?
Okay. Here's what happened.
Here's what happened. They killed how many people?
In 1278. So we're talking, like, a few years ago.
Sure.
The king of Bohemia. Why is that funny?
Who knew Bohemia had kings?
I
didn't know they were a monarchy. I thought they were more progressive than
yeah,
that.
Yeah, I mean, maybe they're not. Maybe they're, yeah. Anyways, sure. He sent someone to Jerusalem in 1278.
That's Jesus' land.
Yes, it was a place he was crucified. And he brought back holy soil with him. He brought back soil from the site of the crucifixion.
Sure.
To this church in the Czech Republic. I don't know. I don't think it was a church yet. So he brought it back and he spread the holy soil all over the bone church's land.
Uh-huh.
And then what happened is word got out. So a bunch of people wanted to be buried in this holy land soil in the Czech Republic. So over time, they built a church and it was used as an ossuary. For those of you who don't know, that's where bones are stored.
And then the owner of what's the furniture company?
Bonerjams.com?
No, the furniture company. You know what I'm talking about. The one you put them together. The furniture.
Phase 3, IKEA?
IKEA!
Yeah.
Then the IKEA guy got with them and they were like, hey, we could take these bones and make a couch.
No, what happened was the bones sat in the ossuary for 600 years. Just chilling.
As bones tend to do in a burial site.
Yeah, yeah. So in 1870, they were like, hey, artist guy, why don't you take all these bones and decorate the church with them?
Why don't we dig up these bodies?
No, they're just hanging out in the ossuary down below the bottom.
It's still a grave site. This seems highly disrespectful to the people who are buried.
Well, right, but now it's like bone church, and now people like want to go there because they want to see like human skull chandeliers.
Look, if I die, don't turn my bones into shit.
I wouldn't turn them into shit. I'd turn them into chandelier.
No, I don't want you to turn my bones into anything.
Okay, that's better. All right. So what do you think about that?
I think it's fucking sick.
Wow. Well,
that's what I think.
Now that we've started the show off the proper way, can enjoy the rest of it.
One, two, three.
Hello, and welcome to another episode of the Crazy Town Podcast. My name is Jonas, I am your host, and I am here with
TNT Dynamite, the explosive one. TNT, D-I-N-O-M-I-G-H-T. What's going on, Joni?
Nothing. We're doing podcasts.
We are doing it.
You know what else happened?
What?
Our YouTube channel's live now.
Oh, I thought you were going to talk about that illicit encounter we had last night, but all right.
With the whores?
No, we left each other.
Oh, that didn't happen. That didn't happen. So, anyways, well, speaking of, our new gaming channel is up on YouTube.
Yeah,
go search Crazy Town Media on YouTube. Find it, subscribe, share, whatever. You got to make sure you follow us on Twitter, at the Crazy Town Pod.
You've got to do this.
Yes, at the Crazy Town Pod, and there's also at Crazy Town Media. If you do not do it, by the time I finish talking right now, Grandma won't take you to lunch for the rest of the year, and it's only January.
But I love lunch with Grandma, see?
Don't we all? We all love lunch with Grandma. Also, the continuous cornucopia of cognitive information.
It doesn't work.
It doesn't make sense.
It doesn't. It's fine.
Yeah, thecrazytown.com. That's where you can get everything. All of it.
Every iota.
Yeah. We have an amazing show planned for everybody today.
Well, we have amazing listeners, so I hope we have something that's equally amazing for their amazing ears.
Well, in just a minute, we are going to be joined by drummer extraordinaire Darren Pfeiffer. He was one of the original members of the band Goldfinger.
Yeah, yeah.
He's played some with Sum 41.
Accolades.
And he now does a punk rock karaoke, which is basically him and some other awesome musicians.
Absolutely.
Doing well karaoke. Known. They play the instruments.
And they play the instruments.
Yeah, that's
not
right.
Not to mention his podcast as well,
right.
Which is
right.
Doing fucking hot
well,
numbers.
Punk rock karaoke, they play the music. People in the audience come up and sing. That was where I was going. I just stumbled over my words because I'm professional.
No, it's fine, dude.
Yes, he's also a radio host and a podcaster himself. Mm-hmm. So that'll be right after this break.
He's almost as big as us, right?
Probably. That's probably safe to say. Yeah, it's
probably safe.
Yeah.
That he's bigger.
All right. Today, TNT, we're going to touch on Dolphins Getting High, Missile Porn, and The Ultimate Losers.
We already did Dolphins Getting High.
I have a follow-up.
No.
I know you have nightmares about this. Still, episode 10, you got to go check it out. No. Dolphins Teaching English. But before we get to any of that, TNT.
What?
Are you ready to drop some knowledge
on
these hosts?
John.
You didn't even let me finish saying what I was saying.
No, I already knew what you were going to say. I'm sorry.
He's going to drop knowledge on you. He's going to teach you a word right now.
I am. I just stumbled across this word, like, honestly, 10 minutes before we were going to record. So
it's fresh.
Yeah, it's hot. Oh. Fresh off the presses. So the word is flakelet.
Flakelet.
I swear to holy Jesus and hey,
this isn't on Urban Dictionary, right?
No, this is in Merriam's fucking dictionary.
Well, as long as it's in Merriam's.
It's in Merriam's, dude. So a flakelet is a small flake of snow. Or I guess it can also relate to ash.
How small is a flakelet?
I don't know.
Like
half the size of a flake? I don't know.
Like, what's the standard deviation?
What's the flake versus flakelet?
What's like the mean of a flake?
I know, because like a snowflake, like if you take one unit of snowflake, that's pretty small.
Right. Is that a flakelet though?
No.
I did see somewhere that the largest snowflake ever was like 15 inches across. Just popped in my head, but I don't remember if that's true. So you can Google that and figure it out.
I guess it's just a small flake. So the smaller the flake, it can be called a flakelet.
Okay.
But I've used this term before.
Can you use it in a sentence?
Not really. I mean, yeah, I guess. When I farted, small flakelets of
snow came out of your ass?
Shit came out of my ass.
Oh.
Dude, I don't know.
All right. Well, at least the words are getting stronger. You're having great sentences. We know we're gonna keep this up.
Keep up the last part.
I had to do the sentence for you.
Highbrow comedy over here.
Yeah. So, all right.
Cerebral.
Every episode.
What?
Fucking dropping knowledge on these hosts.
I dropped a little bit.
Everybody, if you have anything you want to talk about on the show, send it in. CrazyTownPodcast@gmail.com.
We will not talk about it.
We might. And we'll be like, what up? Joe D in Franklin, Pennsylvania sent this in. I don't even know if that's a real person or a real place, but that's what happened. But I do want to give a shout out, a legit shout out to Maurice John Moroni.
Who is this?
He's at Maurice John Morrow on Twitter. He gives us tons of shout outs. He's constantly putting out for people to follow us, giving us shout outs all the time. So I just want to say we appreciate you spreading the word about the podcast. Yeah. And he even started pimping our Crazy Town Media Twitter as well. Both.
Okay.
So awesome. Thank you. We definitely appreciate that.
Yeah.
And of course, you want to call in and tell us something when you're drunk? 512-TAX-1-NIP. What do you hate?
I hate taxes and I love nipples.
I love nipples too. I think everybody does, even women. What? Did I just hurt your feelings?
No, I was thinking.
Speaking of snowflakes.
Am I a big nipple guy or. Like, does this make me a nip guy?
Are you a nip guy? I don't know. Are you?
Oh, I guess so.
All right. Well, we will be right back on the Crazy Town Podcast with our interview with drummer and radio host Darren Pfeiffer. We will be right back.
Where am I?
All right. We're back on the Crazy Town Podcast. We have a very special guest on the phone today. Darren Pfeiffer, former drummer of Goldfinger, sometimes with Sum 41s and other bands. Welcome to the show today, man.
Thanks for having me. It's a pleasure.
All right. And if you want to let everybody know, where can they find you online, you know, for if they want to look you up as far as anything that you have going on nowadays?
I got a podcast myself. It's called The Dangerous Darren Show. Just go to www.thedangerousdarrenshow.com or just Google Dangerous Darren Show or find me on Twitter @DangerousD_show. That's also Instagram @DangerousD_show. So I'm not that hard to track down.
Awesome. Awesome. So I see here you're from like the Buffalo, New York area, Akron, New York. We're actually from a similar area over like the border of Ohio, Pennsylvania there. So I just want to ask you a quick question. What about tell these people about lake effect snow?
Now, you know what lake effect snow is, correct?
Oh, I do. Absolutely. Yeah. Yeah, absolutely.
Well, see, Ohio is a little. Where are you exactly? Are you north of Erie?
We're basically on the border of Pennsylvania and Ohio. So we get tons of it. Yeah, yeah.
How lake effect snow works and why Buffalo has a bad rap is because the storm going west to east in most meteorological models will go over Lake Erie. And we'll pick up a shit ton. Can I swear, right?
Absolutely. Yeah. Anything you want, man.
Okay. We'll pick up a shit ton of snow. And then as soon as it gets over the land, it'll just dump snow over any available landmass. And that happens to be Buffalo, New York, which is directly east of Lake Erie.
As soon as
it goes over to Lake, it gets all.
I'm sorry.
The most?
Yeah. What's the most you've ever seen drop in your lifetime when you lived there?
There was a blizzard in 1977. It was a big blizzard. It was called the Blizzard of 77. And it was massive. We're talking like 8 feet, 9 feet. It was just, over the course of a short period of time. Everything was shut down. Airports, roads, schools. It was just madness. I remember our house, we had the big tunnels to get out of the house. You need to get to the driveway.
Yeah, I've seen that.
And the state thruway was shut down. It was just utter madness. Luckily, my family had a snowmobile, so we were able to
to
get around once the madness was done. But once it was done, there were mountains of snow on the side of the road. So you had to dig out of the mountain to at least get to the road. And but as a kid at that time, I was, it was 8 and 77. So it was a lot of fun, you know, cause there's sledding and there's snowmobiling, there's hockey everywhere. It was a blast. But I remember, you know, my dad and my older brothers digging us out of the house so we could at least have oxygen.
And that's exactly you couldn't why see I out moved the out of New
there
York.
There was so, You couldn't see outside the window. They were just unless you're on the second floor. But it was nuts.
Yeah, that's crazy, man. Like, yeah, I saw probably like 3 foot drop like overnight. You know, things like that. It's pretty crazy. So, I read somewhere that the first band you were ever in had members that are now in Cannibal Corpse. Is that right?
That's right. It was a band called Beyond Death, and Beyond Death was a thrashy metal death metal band. And we played a ton of shows around Buffalo, and I was getting more and more into different. I was getting more and more into punk. I love metal, still do, but I was getting into punk and I loved reggae and ska. And then the two guys in the band were just so into the extreme death metal stuff. But the band broke up, and I went on to start a hardcore band called Zero Tolerance. So I did a little bit of noise in the East Coast, and then the other guys went on and reformed just Cannibal Corpse.
Yeah, that's crazy. Do you ever think of trying to get a Goldfinger Cannibal Corpse tour together back in the day? That'd be interesting.
Interesting, but it would just not work. Their fans would just kill us. There would be homicides every night.
Or each other.
Yeah, right. Absolutely.
Yeah, and our fans wouldn't go because they're afraid of dying, you know, being assaulted and killed.
Right. Exactly.
Or raped and murdered, or both. So it wouldn't work.
Yeah, I just thought
it sounds like my kind of concert.
Yeah, honestly. Right. Just rape, murder, death everywhere. Yeah. So I also have seen that you have a infatuation with Wayne Gretzky.
I do. Yeah, I've always looked up to Wayne. I'm a big hockey fan, as you know. And I follow the Kings in L.A. I follow the Sabres in my hometown, Buffalo. And when the Sabre games weren't on in the playoffs, because they either didn't make the playoffs or they would be out in the first round, and the hockey star of Buffalo market, they would just throw on the Oilers game, because the Oilers always made it to the playoffs and they always won the Stanley Cup, and or they went deep. So it was just good programming. So I never became an Oilers fan per se, but the Gretzky, how could you not become a Gretzky fan if you watch the Oilers every day? And the things he was able to do with his limited speed, limited skating ability, it was just a thing of beauty. And I got to meet him a few times, and it's always a thrill when he remembers me. And he heard he's heard the song I wrote about him, and we see each other, we have a laugh about it. And
that's pretty awesome.
What position?
Yeah,
do you play?
I'm just a big fan of it of the guy.
What position do you play?
I'm a natural left winger. But when you play pickup hockey or city hockey, or even when I played in the leagues in Toronto, you moved around a lot. So sometimes there wasn't enough defensemen. So because I'm a good skater, they're like, you go back there and play D, or I play center if there wasn't enough. If you're a hockey player, you can pretty much play any position that's needed. But naturally, I'm a left winger.
Okay.
Can you fight?
If I have to, but the leagues I played in, there was no fighting, or you were ejected from the league.
Oh.
There were a few dust ups.
Right.
There were a few dust ups, a few pushings and shovings, but nothing ever resulted in, you know, the gloves being thrown down.
Oh, okay. All right.
Okay.
No one ever wanted to fight me. I'm 6'2", 235, so no one really wanted to go at me.
Right. So, okay. Back in the day when you were in Goldfinger, how big of a deal was it for you guys to get on the Tony Hawk Pro Skater game?
For me, it was huge. I remember the meeting very well. And we were getting licensed in video games all the time, and we were getting licensed in movies and TV shows all the time. We had a really good label and a good management. So it was like kind of a big deal whenever we got our song placed in something. But when this came across our table, me being the skateboard nuthead, I was like, we're doing this. And I think they offered us 50, if I remember correctly, it was 50,000 to use Superman.
Well,
and I said, no. I said, no. This video game is going to be fucking huge. It's going to be a smash success. We absolutely, positively, unequivocally have to take points. We beg for points, beg for half a point.
Right.
Like, well, Darren, 50K it's a lot of money. That's, you know, you need this. It's a lot. You don't know what you're talking about. I'm like, and I got on the table and jumped up and down and started screaming. I was like, we don't need the 50K. We're doing great right now. We're touring. We're selling records. Things are going great. We don't need the money to survive and eat. Like, let's take the point. And then finally, this just shut me up. They're like, okay, fine. If the band agrees, and the band was like, whatever Darren says, he's clearly passionate about this. And, and we took a point, and or half a point, whatever it was. I still get checks in the mail from that video game.
Oh, wow. You still, to this day, from Tony Hawk, still get checks from that song?
It still sells, yeah. In different parts of the world, it still sells, yeah.
Now, did you ever play the game?
Oh, constantly.
What was your best combo level?
I don't remember.
You don't remember?
It was so long ago. I don't remember the numbers or the combo levels. But I played it until I finished it with each skater.
We asked the hard hitting questions.
The hard hitting questions, like what your favorite level.
Yeah, everyone wants to know what's your combo level. Everyone's dying to know what.
You know, some people.
If I could just find.
Go ahead. I'm sorry.
If I could just find Darren Fife's combo number, all would be right with the
world. Right, exactly. You know, some people, yeah, playing that game, it was like the game of, like, everybody. Everybody was so hot on that game. That was. I'm glad that you pressed so much to get on there like that. Yeah, that worked out great.
It definitely.
Well, they came. Tony was a big fan. I've had Tony on my podcast 3 times, and we've talked about it at great length. And he was like, "I was a big fan of you guys. I remember when it came out. I heard the band. I thought it was rad. And then I heard Superman, and that was like my favorite song. And he goes, that's by far the biggest hit of that video game. Everyone loves Superman. Now it's so surreal. Like, yeah, I wanted to be part of this video game, and I wanted to take points. And now me and Tony Hawk exchange messages, and he always invites me down to San Diego to go skating with him. And it is so surreal. But it was a big part of our career. It really helped bring a lot of new eyes and ears on what Goldfinger was doing. And, you know, it's not a staple song in the set. And it was a great little run. And that video game, I played that video game so much that the band had to come get me and tell me we were going on stage in 10 minutes. And then they're like, yeah. And I haven't even changed my gear to play. And then the tour manager's like, Darren, we're waiting for you right now. I sometimes had to go on stage in clothes that I wasn't comfortable playing in just because I was so against the clock. And right. I had no warm up, and you know, no, yeah, I didn't. I played without any ears a few minutes because I didn't have time to set them up. And yeah, it was a drug.
Do you still play video games now?
No, as a matter of fact, I don't. And when I said that it was a drug, that's the reason why I don't play video games, because I got so much on the go between punk rock karaoke and playing and filling in for the Dickies and doing session work around town, the podcast. I work for two merch companies. I got a management company, a record label called High Four Recordings that I got a guy on right now named Ryan Sims. I'm pushing very, very, very hard. I'm working with a group of investors that he's got. So my time right now is vexed. So if I had a PlayStation or whatever it's hot right now, I don't even know, Xbox, I suppose. If I had one of those units, I would just be in my living room playing video games until 5 a.m. I would get nothing done.
Yeah, right.
It's crack cocaine. And I know that if I did get a system, my life would be over.
Right. That when you retire, man, you got plenty of times to play video games after that. So,
I know. I just know when I'm at some place that has a video game, if it's a party or someone's house, I'm like, hey, you want to play FIFA? Or do you want to play Madden? Or do you want to play whatever? I'm like, yeah. And I start smoking the crack pipe, so to speak. And next thing I'm like, what?
You're like,
why don't I get me one of these? And they're like, dude, you can afford it. Just go buy one. I'm like, oh my God, I'm totally going to go to Best Buy tomorrow. And then I get in the car. I'm like, oh, I can't do it. I just can't do it. Man.
How many days sober? But
for that little window, it's a lot of fun.
Oh, yeah, absolutely. So a lot of people say that the drummer's the least glamorous part of the band. You know, everyone always goes for the lead singer or whatever.
Darren sounds like
the guitarist.
Do you
ever regret choosing drumming, or like what led you to drumming over being like a guitarist or something like that?
I chose drumming because I just love the drums. I think they look cool. I mean, I thought guitars look cool and basses look cool and stuff, but I just think the drums with all the cymbals and the way they're all shiny and the way they look and the way the drummer was flailing his arms around, and I just thought it aesthetically looked cool. And then I do regret it when I play shows with certain bands like punk rock karaoke and I have to carry my own gear. that's when I'm like, why did I become a really good singer?
Right. Yeah. You have nothing but like your voice. Right. Exactly. You have to carry all your drums around. That makes sense.
Yeah. That's when I regret it. But I just love the way they looked. I love the way they sounded. I love that a band can't really be a good band without a solid drummer. And, you know, the drummers for years were the butt of the jokes, but I think bass players have really sunk to the bottom. The drummers,
I agree with that. I think they've definitely like sunk a little bit. The drummers come more because there's more prominent drummers, like, you know, guys like you and Travis Barker, people who have really like, you know, like made the drummer more popular than it used to be.
Less strings means smaller penis usually.
Oh, is that on the streets?
Usually.
Yeah. So, do you have any story from when you were touring all these years that's so unbelievable that people, if they like, they just won't, people probably won't even believe it, but it happened?
What was that? I guess the one that just pops out right for me was I almost got into a very, very physical altercation with Johnny Lydon from Sex Pistols.
Oh, really?
What?
We were touring together, and we're touring the world, actually, Japan, Australia, New Zealand, all over Canada, Mexico, U.S. And it was like 3-4 months tour when they just got back together, and we played a thing called Bumper Shoot in Seattle, and it was MXPX opening the show, then Goldfinger, and then the Pistols. So some jackass at this soccer stadium gave out CD jewel cases as prizes, and also glass bottles are being served with booze,
oh,
beer. So, of course, the Mets fans are getting just pounded with glass bottles from all these old punkers and stuff. And then everybody just, you know, the punkers that go to the shows. And so the guy comes on the stage, the radio DJ, and he goes, "Hey, everybody, coming up, this hot new band called Goldfinger, and then the Sex Pistols, so don't throw anything at them."
Oh,
so, of course, it's raining glass. It's raining glass. It's raining CDs. John Feldman gets hit in the eye with a CD and stops the show and pulls the guy out and says, "You know what? You know, when my mom told me not to smoke pot, all I wanted to do was smoke pot. If you tell them not to throw shit, they're going to throw shit. So you're going to stand right here. They're going to take it. Go ahead, crowd." And we got out of the way, and it was like literally like this. And he took it like a pro, you know, like a champ. But the Sex Pistols equipment behind us took a pretty heavy beating.
Oh.
So after the show, our bass player, now mind you, his name is Simon Williams, original bass player, Goldfinger. He was from New Zealand. So we were just getting ready to go up to Vancouver, play Vancouver, and then fly to New Zealand, like in 3 days. So he goes backstage. I wasn't there. He goes backstage to apologize to the band about anything that might have been broken. Nothing was, but he said, "Hey, if anything is broken, we'll pay for it. We'll replace it, you know, in an hour. Let us know." And, you know, and then Johnny Light apparently ripped him, saying, "You guys aren't punk. You guys don't know shit about punk. Fuck you, little punk, you little shitheads, and you're off the fucking tour. We're kicking you off the tour tonight." And kicked him out of the dressing room. So I go into my dressing room, and I see Simon crying. I'm like, "What's up?" He's like, "I'm not going home. We're off the tour. We got kicked off the tour," and told me the story. So I see Johnny Lydon in this, like, backstage complex where all these trailers are, like, parked in a square. And there's a little barbecue pit, and there's a bunch of food and booze. And I walk right up to him, and I'm like, you're a piece of shit. And he goes, "What?" And I go, "My bass player apologized to you, you know, about broken gear, which nothing is broken, by the way. And you had the nerve to assault him and kick us off the tour." He's like, "Who the fuck are you?" And I go, "I'm the drummer of Goldfinger." And he goes, "Fuck you, mate." And I go, "Fuck you. We're off the tour. Let's go." I go, "Put your money where your mouth is, tough guy." And he goes, "Oh, really?" And he looks at me and he's like, "Oh, really?" And he looks at me and smiles and he walks towards me. And now my fists are out. I'm like, "Here we go. I'm going to fight Johnny Lydon." And the big 375-pound Samoan bodyguard puts his arm in between us and looks at me and goes, "Nope." Now, nicest, sweetest guy I'll ever meet. He wouldn't harm a fly, but he could literally crush me like a grape. And he's holding back Johnny Lydon. And now Johnny's like coming at me. He's like, come on. You think you're punk? You're not punk. Fuck you. And I'm like, and the guy looks at me and shakes his head and he goes, "Dan, I can't let you near Johnny." And I look at him and I smile. I go, "You lucky little piece of shit that your bodyguard's here to stop you from getting your ass kicked by this punker."
Right.
And he goes, let me at him. And then now he's holding Johnny back. And I go, "You chicken shit piece of shit. Fucking pussy. You're not punk at all. You're not punk. Fuck you." And so they separate. And me and Simon John and Charlie were gone. We didn't know where they were. So we just said, "Let's get going." So we just got hammered and we decided to kick in their door, their dressing room, and trash their dressing room.
Oh, Jesus.
So we kicked in the door of their dressing room. We smashed their TVs. We pissed all over their clothes. We didn't steal any money or jewelry or valuables, but we turned all over their food. We put mustard on everything. We fucking put holes in walls, kicked over furniture. It was destroyed. So the next morning, we get a call from our tour manager. We're having a conference call in the lobby with management. So me and Simon are like, "Oh, fuck. We didn't tell John and Charlie what we did. We're fucked. We're in trouble. We're going to, you know, make a charge." So we're like, "Oh, there's an incident last night, right?" And we're like, "Yeah." He's like, "Well, you guys got kicked off the tour. You did get kicked off the tour. We got a call that, you know, you're removed from the tour, but something happened and now you're back on the tour."
Really?
Maybe they respected you for destroying their dressing room, because that was pretty bad.
That's what we eventually told Charlie and John what happened, and they're like, "You did what?" We're like, "Dude, we were off the tour. Why wouldn't we act like assholes? Like, fuck it. Who cares?" So, they're like, "Go to Vancouver right now because you got a show tonight." So we drove to Vancouver, we played the show, then flew to New Zealand, Australia, Japan, and Asia, and the whole time, Johnny Lydon had to be separated a few times. We saw each other in the hallway, and I look at him and smile. I was like, he looked at me and he goes, "You think you're so fucking smart with your little fucking smile, eh, drummer guy?" And I'm like, "I'm right here, Johnny. I'm right here, buddy." And then security guard was never far away. He was always, always near the band. And the band never traveled anywhere without this guy. So the guy would come in and look at me and goes, "Dan," like, as polite as can be, he goes, "That's really not necessary." like scolding me, softly scolding me, like, Darren, come on, that's really not necessary. I'm like, yeah, you're right, I'm sorry. And then as Johnny walked away, I mouthed the words, fuck you.
Just so, yeah, so he can see you. Yeah, exactly.
So this happened in the hallways of the venues. This happened in the airports. I saw him at the airport. We were at the same gate. So I'd blow him kisses. I'd be like, like, I'm just waiting for him to just come across the room and start fucking assaulting me because I would have destroyed him.
Oh, Jesus.
I saw him at the Apple store in Santa Monica on the promenade about 2 years ago.
Wow, okay.
And I talk about regret. I regret not walking up to him and saying, you don't remember me. But I played drums at Uncle Goldfinger, and we were on the Frilly Lucre tour in 97 or whatever it was, and we almost got into a fist fight. And I wonder what he would have said if you'd have said, fuck it, mate, who cares, a long time ago. Or if you'd have said, well, my guard's not here, do you want to finish this?
Yeah, right. Like all those years later. It would have been funny if you went up to him and he just knew who you were immediately. He was like, it's you.
And I would have been, he's like, you're the guy I never got to fight. And I'm like, let's do it.
Right in the Apple store, fucking.
Hey, man. Unresolved matters.
Even though we would have gone outside. We would have gone outside. But by some miracle, if he did beat me up, I'd still get a shit ton of press out of it.
Yeah, right. Exactly. Yeah. That's crazy. Does that happen a lot with different bands? Like when you're on tour, like you're around them so much and clashing personalities, do you guys get into it with other bands?
No, never, ever. Not once. That was the only time.
Yeah, you would figure with all these different people that eventually someone would disagree, but I guess you're all kind of in it for the same cause. You're all kind of entertaining and having a good time.
Yeah, I mean, it can be weird. I mean, there was a band called Our Lady Peace.
I remember them.
Rock band. And who I've since become very good friends with. But John Feldman took some shots of them from the stage, and the singer didn't like it. Rain Maida. His name is Rain Maida. And he came up to John one time and was, like, getting into his face, and John's not a fighter. He's kind of a pussy. And he was like, oh, man, I'm sorry. We're in a band. We just like to say shit. And the guy's like, not much bigger than John. He's like, dude, you know what the fuck, man? I should knock your fucking teeth in. So I was right there. Nothing was going to happen. But John definitely had a tail between his legs at that one time. And it's funny because Our Lady Peace, whenever we did radio shows with them, I really didn't like them back then. I do now. But back then I was like, oh, they're so bad. I would go into their dressing room and steal all their alcohol.
Oh my god!
And then I worked at a radio station in Toronto for years, and I had interviewed him one time. I was like, "Oh, we're here with Our Lady Peace." And you guys remember playing shows? And I was like, "Yeah." Every now and again, you guys would be on the bill, a big radio show type of thing. And I'm like, "Do you guys remember ever going to your dressing room after the show and your alcohol was all gone?" They're like, "Yeah, you know what? That happened to us a few times." I go, "That was me."
And how many years later is this?
Oh, this is like 10 years later. And I was like, hey, I'm really sorry. They're like, well, what did you do with it? I go, you weren't the only one. It was you. There was I, Mother Earth. There was Live. There was Hole. Any band I hated, I would either break into the dressing room or just walk in. I was so brazen. I had a cart. I brought in a cart. And I would put all their wine and beer and spirits and any snacks that I wanted. I'd put it in onto the cart and just wheel it right to the bus. And at the end of the tour, my girlfriend had a pickup truck, and at the end of the tour, she picked me up with my bags and stuff, and literally like 40, 50 bottles of booze and like cases of beer. And jeez. She's like, "Where is this alcohol? Is that all your alcohol?" I'm like, "Well, some of it's mine, but some of it's Our Lady Pieces and I'm Mother Earth and Live and some other bands that I didn't like. Dish Walleye. I always told Dish Wallace booze.
Dish Wallace booze.
Darren, you're not making any friends, man. You're coming clean.
All the guys in Goldfinger. All the guys in Goldfinger were sober, so they thought it was hilarious.
Oh, I did not know that.
Oh, okay. So, like, did you drink and stuff back then? Or, like, and everyone else was sober?
Oh, yeah, I did.
Oh, so, like, you were the only one that partied?
We all partied. We all, like, there were tons of girls, and there was music, and there was some fun times. Just no alcohol.
Oh, okay.
Or I'd be the only one drinking, or the crew would come in and have a beer with the crew, my drum tech or guitar tech or tour manager. Once the night was over, we would drink. But the band... they'd either not drink or drink Cokes or drink non-alcoholic beer or whatever. So yeah, they're sober.
Huh. Interesting. I did not know that. So you always hear stories about like girls throwing themselves at musicians and all that stuff. What's the craziest thing a male fan has ever done to you?
What?
Like, you know, to get an autograph or to get your attention that, you know, it may be embarrassing for them, but as like a male fan, has they ever done anything crazy?
Well, at a few meet and greets we did along the way at these shows, I had a couple fans. This happened a few times, two or three. A fan would be like, "Hey man, would you sign my balls?"
For real?
And being the weirdo that I am, I'd be like, sure, whip him out. And so he'd pull him out, he'd pull out his balls, and I would sign my name on his neck.
No.
That's all. You know, do you think that they were trying to do it to call your bluff that you wouldn't do it? Or do you think they legitimately wanted you to sign his balls?
Maybe both. I don't know. I still did it.
That's awesome.
I don't know. That's something to tell the grandkids.
Like, that, yeah, that's
Jared Pfeiffer signed my balls.
Yeah, right. I guess that's true.
One guy made me take a photograph, too. He's like, oh, can you get a picture of you and my balls? So I'll actually pose with his balls.
Yeah, picture. It didn't happen.
I didn't touch him.
Yeah, right. No, yeah.
I didn't touch him, but they were in the picture. Yeah.
That's awesome. That's really awesome. Do you have a favorite city that you've ever played in, toured in, venue, anything like that?
Hometown.
Well, in the U.S., it seemed, I mean, every band has their own, like, hub. Like, every band has that one city that they go to, and it's nuts. For us, it was Chicago.
Oh, nice. Every
time we went to Chicago, we played two or three sold out nights at the House of Blues, and every show was just better than the next. And so Chicago in the U.S., and in the U.K. it was London, or even Europe, even better than Paris or Madrid or any other places like that. And in Asia, Tokyo, all our Tokyo shows are off the hook.
Are the fans outside of the U.S. crazier about, like, a band than the U.S. fans, or do you think it's crazier here?
No, definitely crazier in Europe, for sure. Not so much in Asia. They're very well-behaved fans there. But in Europe and the UK, they just go absolutely fucking mental from the first song to the last. And they don't care. And they're there right at doors. So it's not like you walk through the crowd and you're like, oh, well, it'll fill up, I guess. It's packed right away. And they go nuts because they don't know when Goldfinger is going to be back or Sum 41 is going to come back to play again. So they just, from note one, they're just giving it. It's great.
Well, yeah, I guess that makes sense because, yeah, in the U.S., you're always like, oh, I missed them this time, but they'll be back in a year or whatever. But, yeah, and, like, yeah, in Spain, they're like, when the hell is Goldfinger or Sum 41 coming back to Barcelona or whatever? So that makes sense.
Yeah,
so,
totally.
Are you a permanent member of Sum 41 now, or do you just kind of help them out sometimes? Or
It's more help them out sometimes. I've done a handful of shows with them, and I talked to Derek early January, and he's like, hey man, you still practicing the songs? I'm like, yeah, I'll sit down and I gotta run through them. He's like, yeah, we'll run through them, because you never know with our guy Frank. This guy Frank Zumo, who plays in the band, he's got a million things on the go. Like, he's worked plays in a lot of different bands, and he's got the street drum corps thing he does, and so you never know when he's gonna take a knee on a show and they're gonna call me up and say, hey, want to jump in? So,
that's awesome. Do you have an official band that you're playing with right now that you're putting up consistent music with? Or
No, not really. I'm putting music out with. I do play a lot with a band called Punk Rock Karaoke. And Punk Rock Karaoke is a band that's been around for like 25 years or whatever. It's members of Bad Religion. It's Greg Hetson from Bad Religion fame and Circle Jerks, and Steve Soto from Adolescence, Stan Lee from the Dickies, Eric Melvin from NoFX will jump in and play shows, and then me. And
oh, awesome.
We go all over the world and play like 80 songs. They have a 70-80 song list of like Dead Kennedys and Clash and Ramones and stuff like that, Misfits. And we don't have a singer, so we'll call people up and they'll sing and we play.
Oh, that's awesome. I've actually heard of they do death metal karaoke like around in different places where they have a live band, you go up and sing karaoke with a band, but you guys do that as like famous touring musicians and let other people come sing the songs. That's pretty fucking awesome.
Yes, it's super fun because we don't have a step. The best part of it is there's a lot of best parts of it, but the best part of it is we don't have a singer, and we all have horror stories to tell about our singers. all of us. The singers are the worst by far. They're just the worst. And we don't have a singer. So when we tour, all we do is get along and hang out and no one's being a diva or a dick or I need this, I need that. It's just everyone's just firm, got their feet firmly planted on the ground, and it's fun. Every show is different, and anybody that's in a band, that's a big band like Bad Religion or Goldfinger or Sum 41 will tell you, a lot of the times the set is somewhat cookie cutter. Every show is kind of the same set, the same shtick, the same click track, the same. Everything is all kind of lined up real nice, and you know what you're going to get when you're a musician. And there's some comfort in that, but also it can be a drag. So with Punk Rock Karaoke, I have no idea what's going to happen song to song, let alone show to show.
Oh, it's because you have such a giant set you can play. You could really pick anything out of a hat and just go with it.
Do you have any single horror stories that you're willing to share?
Punk rock karaoke horror stories?
No, a singer. You said everybody has a singer that they've had an incident with. Do you have any that you're willing to share?
We'll have to do a whole another podcast on that.
I didn't realize.
That is a Pandora's box of stories that we'll have to get to at another time.
All right, that's fair. I know there's been a lot of turmoil. I'm not
in Goldfinger. I was the last original member to leave the band. Well, actually, I was kicked out of the band. John kicked me out of the band, and then he wanted to get together with me and management and kind of figure it out. And I was like, nah, I don't want to figure it out. I've had enough, and I quit. So I mean, suffice it to say, being in a band with a singer. They're talented people. They're great. John's a great singer. He's a great songwriter. He's a good producer. But sometimes being in a band with someone like that can prove to be challenging.
Yeah, yeah. Well, I've listened to some of your podcasts where you've talked about that a little bit in more depth, and it sounds like it's been just a damn nightmare for years. So I definitely understand where you come from. It's a whole Pandora's box. So, speaking of your podcast, what made you get into podcasting? Like, where did you, I know you were on the radio and stuff, but what made you like decide to go the podcast route?
Yeah, I just wanted to just keep my chops sharp and stay focused. And if something presented itself, I'd like to either say to them, "Hey, why don't we just bring the podcast on to your radio station, or maybe start a new one with my co-host TS?" And we just I just like doing it, and we made money on it. You know, we've had sponsors. We have fun. We can swear. We can drink. You know, we don't get crass.
Right, right. Now, TS, is he a longtime friend of yours from back home? Like, have you known him like forever?
Yeah, I've known that guy forever. One good pal.
That's awesome. That's awesome. So, and do you still host the King's Corner, or is that something you used to do and is done? Or,
fuck, sorry guys.
That's okay.
I used to do that last season, but I don't do that anymore now.
No. All right. And then I just have a couple other softball questions we like to throw out to people who come on the show. If I take it, you like pizza, right?
I'm sorry.
I said I throw a couple softball questions out to everybody. I take it you like pizza, right?
Pizza, of course.
Okay. If you could only order one pizza with the same two toppings on it for the rest of your life, every time you order pizza, what would it be?
That's kind of like my life now, anyway.
Hard hitting question.
Is cheese a topping or not?
Yeah, you get cheese automatically, so then you can choose two toppings.
It would be onions and green peppers.
Oh, wow. Okay. Yeah, you.
Yeah, I'm a double veggie pizza guy.
Yeah.
All right. Yeah. So's TNT over there. He's a veggie pizza guy as well. And the one other thing we like to throw out there, kind of goofy. If you could create your own animal, like make two animals mate to have an animal with logistics not being a problem, any two, what animal would you create?
Probably a mix between a dog and a fish. So if I took my dog to a party that had a pool, we could like go underwater and like swim underwater.
So it would be like a fish body with a dog head, or would it have legs? Like, how would you put it together?
It would be a dog head, and he'd have, instead of paws, it'd be like fins.
Wow. This guy came prepared. Did you see how fast he put that out there?
Like, it took you 2 seconds to come up with that. That's awesome. So, well, that's cool, man. So, but yeah, I mean, thank you so much for taking time. I know we've been working to try to get you on for a while and everything. I know you said you got some stuff coming up, but you want to tell everybody again real quick where they can find you online, find your podcast, all that?
Yeah, just go to Google or go to any browser and type in The Dangerous Darren Show. I think the website is thedangerousdarrenshow.com or dangerousdarrenshow.com. And the Twitter and Instagram is @dangerousd_show. Follow us. We'll follow you back. The show happens on Adobe Radio, which is rebroadcast on iHeartMedia every Tuesday at 4 o'clock Pacific, 7 o'clock Eastern. And we get some pretty big guests. Last week, or the last time we did a show, I had Keith Sutherland on talking about country music.
That's awesome.
That's coming up this month alone is going to be Jello Biafra from that Kennedy fame. We're going to have Stuart Copeland from The Police come on. Daryl Hall from Daryl Hall and John Oates fame is going to come on and talk about his new record. Cyndi Lauper's management has expressed interest. So yeah, I'm getting out there and getting some pretty big names on my show.
All right, you're starting to make us look bad, okay?
But thank you so much, man. We do appreciate you taking the time to you know, talk with us today. We had a great time with you, and if you ever want to come back on, you're more than welcome anytime.
Yeah,
man.
Anytime. Thanks a lot.
Absolutely, man. I had a blast, for sure. That was fun.
All right, cool. Thanks a lot. You have a good day, man. Take care.
Talk soon.
All right, see you. Yep, bye. And we'll be right back on the Crazy Town Podcast.
Hi, I'm Alex.
And I'm Dimitri. We're the Boondoggle.
And you're listening to the Crazy Town Podcast.
All right, and we are back on the Crazy Town Podcast. Interview with Darren Pfeiffer, man.
Yeah, man. Really interesting guy.
Dude, awesome guy. Absolutely. Yeah. We may have to try to get him back on the show again in a future episode.
I'd hate to meet him in the dark alley. I don't want to get hit.
No, man, I thought those are some great stories. So, but TNT, I want to jump into some stuff, man. I want to talk about Crazy Town stories.
Dude, I love talking about Crazy Town stories.
So the first thing I want to talk about.
Yeah.
This is kind of old news, but there's a relevancy to it. The Hawaii fake missile alert.
Yeah, that happened. That happened. A thing.
Yeah, it was a little while ago.
Yeah.
So, for all of you who don't know, which shouldn't be anybody, I'll give a quick synopsis. A false alert was sent out saying a missile was coming towards your home, basically.
Look at us keeping up with some relevant
stories. Right. Oh, look. Oh, yeah. All so, right. I found out a little, like, that was the basic of it. I mean, whatever. It is what it is. We can do it. Did you know that the governor of Hawaii knew about the alert being sent out falsely within 2 minutes of it happening?
Yeah.
So what's the governor to do? Rushes to Twitter to tell everybody, hey, this is a false alert, because people follow the governor. They're going to see what's going on.
Did he really do that?
Yeah, but guess what happened? He forgot his password. So, so it says that it took him 15 minutes to, like, figure out he didn't know it, get the password recovery email, get the recovery, and then post on Twitter, wow. Hey guys, we fucked up.
Honestly, that is so Hawaii, too. That's not the most Hawaii thing that could have possibly happened.
So what would you do in that situation, man?
What situation if I was the governor of Hawaii?
No. You're a citizen of Hawaii.
Yeah.
You get a text alert that says, you're going to die in a couple minutes, man. Here comes a missile. Woo, woo, woo. You know?
Woo, 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 woo.
That's what.
Is that what whistle tips the official
say.
Federal.
You ever heard a video about whistle tips? Whistle tips go woo, woo. That's like 20 years old now. If you've never seen that, you got to look it up. It's funny. What would you do? Don't roll your eyes.
I didn't roll my eyes. It was funny.
What would you do, man? Would you like immediately like be like, do something crazy?
What would I do if there was a crisis situation in which my life was in danger?
There was a missile coming at your house, man.
Not just a crisis. A ballistic missile.
Not like a zombie attack. It was like Kim Jong-un is riding one.
I don't know. I don't really have like survival skills when it comes to that type of shit. So
you'd just be like running in the street with your hands in the air going,
no, dude, I guess I'd try. What the fuck would I do? I don't know, dude. I'm playing Xbox.
You're like, fuck it, I can get a couple games in real quick before the end of the world.
Let me get this last loot box in.
I wanted to jump out and tell you something, because Pornhub released some stats during this crisis time.
Okay. This is the Crazy Town twist that we're
right,
looking at.
Exactly. That's where it was coming from. You knew it was coming. I told you it was a quick shot. No pun intended. So, Pornhub did a little bit of research. They compared this particular Saturday to the two previous Saturdays. At 11:07 a.m., I'm sorry, 8:07 a.m., is when the alert hit everybody's phones. 16 minutes later, by 8:23, Pornhub traffic was 77% lower than an average Saturday.
So less people were jacking it.
Right. So basically, you think, like, people say, oh, the plane's going down, they're going to whip it out and fucking crank one out real quick before the end.
I don't think that's going to be my first response.
Well, anyways. So within 15 minutes, traffic, there was still people using it, but it was 77% lower than it normally is.
Okay.
So then, 8:45, they're notified that it was a false alarm. By 9:01, 15 minutes later, traffic was 48% higher than it normally is. So 15 minutes after they found out they didn't die, then everybody was going to masturbate. they were like, whew, that was close.
Some people go to Pornhub for the dynamic storylines.
You know what I saw the other day is I saw a headline that said... I
thought you were going to say a porn.
No.
I was really waiting
for it.
It
was like, what was it? I can't remember. It was a headline on Reddit and somebody posted, I don't know why, but this movie is on Pornhub. It wasn't a porno movie. It was like a legit movie. And he was like, it's been uploaded to Pornhub in its entirety. I don't know why, but you can go watch it here. It was just like a random, like, it was just like some weird movie that wasn't pornographic in any way. It was weird.
You heard about this, huh?
Yeah, it was on Reddit, dude. I read all sorts of shit. Yeah.
I thought you might have been on Pornhub yourself.
No.
Just watching Disney films.
Yeah, yes, because if you search certain things, then The Lion King pops up. Yeah,
on Pornhub looking up the Pirates of the Caribbean parody movie.
I was. That's exactly what I was doing.
There is one. There's a Scooby one.
Oh, yeah, there was a Pirates of the Caribbean. That one came out a long time ago. There was also Pulp Friction. They used to have that at the video store when
I was
like a teenager.
There is a Smurfs.
Dude, I bet there's everything. Dude, there's so much cosplay bullshit out there, dude. I don't want to watch a cartoon character have sex.
No, it wasn't a cartoon character. It was live action.
I don't want to see a man dressed in blue paint.
It was a woman.
Banging a woman in blue paint. Yeah. Well, I mean, you can go watch the Blue Man Group if you want to see that.
That's not. They're not banging on stage.
They're banging on drums.
Oh, that was quick. Actually, yeah, that was pretty quick.
I didn't even think of it before I said it. It was like that's totally reactionary.
That was some organic comedy.
Ooh, didn't. Dolphins getting high.
No.
So.
No.
Why do you always do this?
Because, dude,
dolphins?
You're going to talk about dolphins getting high, and somebody's going to put a finger in a dolphin's ass, and now I'm going to have nightmares for a week.
Episode 10, we talked about an experiment where a fine young lady tried to teach dolphins English.
And she jerked the dolphin off, and it sucked, all right?
they also gave the dolphins LSD, and it didn't work.
It sucked for everybody.
You should go back and listen to that episode.
It sucked.
You personally, TNT.
No,
you should go.
No, I don't want to.
You lived it? You don't want to go back?
Yeah, I fucking lived that episode.
Yeah, that was like the first time after I recorded with you after like the main time. It was like, hey, welcome to the Crazy Town Podcast.
What are they giving the dolphins now? They just issue
dolphins
heroin.
Dolphins are doing it themselves. This is legit.
Oh,
so
pufferfish, right?
This comes from the Smithsonian Institute, a legitimate source.
Yeah.
Why are you trying to ruin my fucking?
I'm not trying to ruin it. I just heard this before.
Oh, have you?
Yeah.
I'm sorry. Yeah, it's all right.
Yeah. Well,
let's just change articles now.
No, dude. Let's teach
the Smithsonian
people at home.
Is a group that runs museums. They do legit research.
Yeah.
We have more news about our dolphin friends.
Oh?
Yeah.
Our friends in the sea.
They have learned that they can get high off pufferfish.
Yeah.
A new documentary has revealed this. It says in the article that other animals do things to get high as well. Speaking of what they say, horses eat hallucinogenic weeds. Yep. What weeds are these? Can humans eat these? Like, why are they hallucinogenic to a horse and not hallucinogenic to a person?
I don't know if you want to go around eating horse food.
It's a weed, dude. It's not made for horses. It's like a weed they eat somewhere.
I don't know. It's probably got like a mild toxin in it or some shit. I know otters do it with certain types of snails. Is that on your list?
No, it's not. No. You always try to ruin my stories.
I'm not trying to ruin your story.
Elephants get drunk on overripened fruit.
Yep, I've heard that one.
Bighorn sheep love narcotic lichen.
Big horn sheep.
Not horny sheep. Don't get excited about it.
Couldn't think that.
It's do you know what a lichen is?
Yes.
Don't say a werewolf. Do not say a fucking werewolf.
Why would I say that?
Because like you're trying to be funny?
No, I wouldn't. I'm not trying to be funny. I don't have to try. This shit happens naturally. But no, it's like a fern, a moss almost.
It said it was like a fungusy algae thing. So basically, normally when dolphins hunt food, prey, they grab it, put it in their mouths, they tear it to shreds. Mm-hmm. They're like very vigorous and
I don't like the way.
Just because she stroked him vigorously in that story doesn't mean anytime anybody
no.
anybody mentions Dolphins. We're talking about.
That episode will forever remain an infamy for me.
Yeah.
But yeah. So okay. They chewed a blowfish.
Yeah. Well, see what they do. The documentary observed the dolphins. They were gently playing with a pufferfish for 20 or 30 minutes. Mm-hmm. And they were putting it in their mouth and lightly shaking it and passing it back and forth, almost like they were sharing a doobie or something.
Puff, puff, pass, motherfucker.
Yeah, puff, puff, pass, motherfucker. It says this was the first time dolphins have been observed doing this before. It says that pufferfish release a potent chemical that when they're scared or threatened. Mm. So, but in small doses, it seems to cause a trance state for the dolphins. Because after this was done, they caught the dolphins on film just like hanging out, like staring at their reflection in the water. Like they were like floating right at the surface, like staring up at their reflections for like a while. Like, so they thought they were like high.
I could see that.
And it said by the way they were doing it, it was in a definitive pattern. So they are pretty much convinced this couldn't have been the first time that they had tried to do that. Like this is like a dolphin like ritual.
It's a learned thing. It's probably also learned that when their dolphin mom walks in the room, they have to hide it under their bed.
Or when their dolphin bong comes in the mail and their mom makes them open it and he says it's an Xbox
dolphin
controller.
Dolphin bongs?
Do you see that video online?
No, I haven't seen a dolphin bong.
No, it's
video.
Not a dolphin bong. It was a video of this kid and his mom intercepted the package and he had ordered a bong off the internet and she made him open it in front of her. And as he's like opening it, he's like, what the heck? What the frick is this? I ordered an Xbox controller. It was a fucking giant glass bong. Like,
where would you even hide that in like your house? If you
yeah, dude,
let it
why would
home?
You like, yeah, I mean, come on, you gotta be smart. All right. Told you these were quick hits.
Why don't you tell me how you hide your bong from your mom?
My mom didn't make me hide it. Oh, but that's a joke. There was no sort of thing like that happening. So I want to touch base on the ultimate losers.
Which, the ultimate losers of what?
Everything in the world.
Are you talking about the Browns?
This is a throwback to episode one.
Are you talking about the Cleveland Browns?
I'm talking about the Cleveland Browns.
Well, they're good.
On the first episode of this podcast, the inaugural episode, I talked about being hyped up for this Browns losing every game so they could have the anti-perfect season parade. And ultimately,
we achieved it.
They will last year, because this was last season for the first episode of the podcast, they won a game. So it didn't happen.
Yeah, but this
season. And mind you, we don't normally talk about sports on the Crazy Town podcast. It's a very rare thing to talk about sports.
It's something very near and dear to both of us.
But being from Cleveland, I used to be a Cleveland Browns season ticket holder.
Fucking A, man.
I got to tell you, I'm a little sad I missed that 0-16 parade. I'm more sad I missed the 0-16 parade than I am that I missed the Cavs championship parade.
No, dude.
Well, the only reason is because there was way more people and you couldn't see shit. At the Browns, at this one, it says the parade from 2015 was canceled when they won a game. But they had already donated $50,000, which ended up going to the Cleveland Food Bank. So it ends up like being a good thing.
Sure.
So 2017, they reached ultimate futility. They lost every single game.
Dude, I want to high five you so bad now.
For what?
Because we did it. We did the impossible.
We did the best part, 4-0 in the preseason, 0-16 in the regular season, preseason champs, regular season champs, bad-ow.
Sports.
Yeah. So
I don't know what any of
it said that 3,200 people showed up for this parade.
Sure.
For those of you who don't know, the Cleveland Browns Stadium is set right up on the lake, and there is actually – it is surrounded on all four sides by road. So the parade route was a giant zero all the way around the stadium. It's pretty awesome.
Was that intentional, I wonder?
Oh, absolutely. It was, for sure. Oh, like because the team knew they were never going to win games when they put the stadium there 20 years ago? Is that
I meant the parade route was that intentional.
Oh, yeah. They originally
circles and ovals are pretty natural shapes to be found
I guess so.
In the world
there. There was such marvelous items at this on display here as an open casket draped in Browns blankets.
Wow.
There was people carrying tombstones with all the 28 quarterbacks the Browns have had since they came back to the league in 1999, which averages out to about 1.5 a year.
1.5 QBs a year.
A year. Yeah. Mind you, Tom Brady came in the league in 01 2 years after the Browns came back in the league, and he's been the only quarterback except for one guy who could have played for him when he was hurt for a season.
Yeah.
It's fucking nuts, dude.
It is, man.
There was also, I actually saw some people from the tailgate lot that I knew. They, like, hang
this
out there.
Fucking guy. Yeah, this guy. Football. Dude. Yeah. Oh, dude. I know nothing about football.
Well, whatever. Anyways.
I don't.
So, I did get
tailgate buddies.
I did get my 2017 0-16 perfect season shirt.
Yes, I saw it. You got it.
I liked it. The first one was crooked. It seemed it was almost better. The customer service from my place was unique. I am writing for your concern. I was like, oh god, this is going to be terrible when it comes. And it got fixed. Anyways, I hope the I wanted to touch on that quickly because it's sports. We're not a sports podcast. I hope the owner and all the players are more ashamed than ever from this parade.
Wow, really?
I do.
Why do you wish shame upon your town?
No, I don't wish shame on the town. I hope that the owner is ashamed of what he put together.
No, I hope that they do better next season.
Well, me too. I didn't say I want them to still win zero games.
Well,
I hope
feel shame.
I hope they're ashamed.
I hope
and
they
it causes
feel
them
motivated.
And it causes them to do better. Motivated shame.
Motivational shame.
Right. That's my. I'm gonna fucking coin that.
Parenting tip 101 from fucking Joni. Did you also hear that Johnny Manziel, when he tweeted to Vince McMahon about the XFL?
Oh, yeah. I saw a little note that said that he would be eligible to play in the XFL.
No. Vince McMahon immediately tweeted and said, if you have any criminal background, that you cannot be a part of the XFL.
Oh, wow. So, like, well,
shut them down, dude.
Well, I know that they, like, in his press conference, he said, like, even if the players get, like, a DUI, they're going to be banned for life.
Shut Johnny Football down.
He's a punk-ass kid, man.
He ain't a kid anymore, dude. You can't be 24 like, oh, I'm a kid. No, you need to learn some shit by 24.
Yeah. Well, you know.
You got to be self-sufficient. But I just thought that was funny.
Let me ask you a question, TNT.
What?
What's the coolest thing you've seen on the internet in the last week?
The coolest thing
that you've seen on the internet. Weird, cool, random, crazy, whatever. What made you go, holy shit?
Well, I was on Pornhub the other day.
That's not describing an adult movie. What's hot in the streets for you, man?
What's hot in the streets?
Yeah,
I don't know, man. I'm pretty.
Maybe we can have a new segment. What's hot in the streets for TNT? You'll have something you found on the internet.
I'm pretty hip to the Ugandan Knuckles meme.
The Ugandan Knuckles
meme? You know the way? Why are you running? I love that shit. So that shit's funny.
Okay, did you see any news on the internet that was hot?
I don't really go to the internet for news. I don't really get
you
into it.
You don't follow, like,
no,
anything?
That's what I'm for? Yeah, I learn just as much as when the listeners listen about what's fucking going
on. That's
very
true. You do learn what's hot in the streets for me as well as from the listeners.
I teach you meme culture. You teach me about actual culture, I guess.
I don't know, dude. Some of this shit, I don't know what kind
this
of culture.
This is American culture.
This is our culture. This is Americans. Us. All of these stories happen from people just like us.
Fucking love it, right?
God, and that's what I think we bring to the world. We bring out the part of the world that everybody else wants to forget.
Yes. Dolphins chewing blowfish.
Dolphins chewing blowfish. Fucking, I got a good story for another episode. I'm teasing it.
You're teasing it?
You guys turn in next week. We got a good story.
You could say that literally every episode.
I'm going to start doing that. Wait till the end.
Holy shit. You guys wait till next week.
Wait till next week. Story going to blow your socks off.
All right.
But you know what, TNT?
What do you want?
That's all the time we have for today.
No, is it?
Yeah, man. I told you we're going to try to keep these bitches under an hour now.
You told me that. You didn't necessarily dictate that.
Well, with the gaming channel, we're going to try to keep the podcast about an hour every episode. So...
Anyways, the
YouTube channel, gaming channel is up. Guys, even if you don't like gaming videos, these videos are basically mini podcast episodes. They run 15 to 25 minutes. Awesome topics, such as...
Not to mention awesome gameplay.
Oh, awesome gameplay from TNT Dynamite, doing good on some games. We touch on topics such as AIDS Roulette, the N-word. Some other things.
You're not allowed to say that.
I didn't say it. You want to know what that's about? Go to the YouTube channel, subscribe, listen to our video. It's the second one. I do want to thank you for listening. TNT, you want to say goodbye to everybody? You want to tell them how to find your things on the internet?
Yeah, because I got that YouTube site.
Yeah.
I got one.
Why don't you compete with our own YouTube?
How am I competing if there's nothing on it? That's not competition.
You're consistent, man.
It's like Kmart having an empty store, and you're like, oh, that's competition with Walmart. It's not, because there's no comp.
That's what all the Kmarts are like for.
Anyway, TNT Dynamite, I'm on the YouTubes. TNT dot fucking Johnny Manziel dot YouTube dot net. Twitter, I'm TNT Dynamite. Me and Johnny Manziel actually share a Twitter as well. So
do you? You share it with him?
Yeah.
You guys both log in and like.
Yeah. We're close. We're close.
That's cool.
I
think
also,
you have like 25 followers now.
Do I?
Maybe.
I don't know. I started following some people. I made some shout outs. I'm still waiting for a few people to hit me back up.
Who's that?
What's the Iron Man? He's supposed to come on the podcast.
Oh, is he?
Yeah.
The real one?
Yeah, I talked to Iron Man.
not Robert Downey Jr., actual
no,
Iron Man.
Not him, Iron Man.
Actual Iron Man.
Yeah, we're trying. We're trying. We got some surprises this season, I think.
Yeah, we do. Whatever. Got right. Some stuff. All right, everybody. Same as always. We want to hear from you. Tell us what you hate about the show. Review us on iTunes. Give us a 5-star. Give us a lesser one if you really want to, but don't. I mean, don't, you know.
No,
you don't know?
No.
Subscribe to our YouTube channel.
Yeah.
That is the biggest thing you can do to help us out right now. And share it. Tell people it's awesome even if you hate it.
You just want them to lie? I think we come with some pretty good content.
We do.
I don't think anybody's.
If you like our podcast, you're going to like our YouTube channel.
Yeah.
And, of course, website, cornucopia of continuous information, thecrazytown.com, everything about all of Crazy Town Media, podcast, gaming channel, and who knows what else we're going to get into over the next couple years.
We don't even know.
We don't even know. Maybe we'll have a TNT cooking show on YouTube.
I don't think so. Ramen noodles in a bowl.
All right. Well, that's about it. I just want to say thanks, guys. Thanks for listening to our show. We had to thank Darren Pfeiffer again for coming on.
Thank you.
Awesome
man.
Interview.
Yeah.
For Jonas and for TNT Dynamite, we are out.
Over.